3-1 pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, way up there, way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Eight strikeouts for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for
Phoenix. Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager! That just happened! Thank you very much!
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
Welcome back to the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. The weekend is here. Well, it's just about here. Big weekend of Mariners baseball. We'll get you a little preview here in a couple minutes. First things first, thanks so much for being patient this week. It has been an interesting week on the podcast. So here's the story. MLB is having some difficulties. They've had difficulties this week with the podcast, not just this one, but all the MLB podcasts. So they've struggled getting them posted. That's why you've seen a couple that have popped up late. Yesterday's didn't pop up at all until today. I'm assuming today. It hasn't popped up yet. So this is me talking into the future. But if you're hearing this one, it means the other one has been posted as well. So two for one, I guess. And I recommend after you listen to this one, listen to the one from yesterday, or the one that should have been yesterday. Scott Lindholm was on. It's a good one, so you can check that one out too. So hopefully next week things will be more squared away and they'll be popping up as normal in the morning and we won't have any issues along the way. But, you know, it is what it is. But I appreciate everyone that has tweeted me and emailed me about them not coming up on time and that sort of thing. I do appreciate that. So, yeah. It's in MLB's hands. So hopefully it will get better moving into next week. But again, thanks for your patience and thanks for all the interaction. I don't say it enough, but I hope you know how much I appreciate you listening and downloading and the interaction as well. It's my favorite part, to be honest, the interaction on Twitter and email. So anytime at Gary Hill Jr. and GaryHillPXP@gmail.com. You can connect with me anytime at all. Twitter's usually the fastest, too, especially on weekends. But, yeah, anytime. Hit me up. So here's what we have for you here. A great conversation between Aaron Goldsmith and Mike Blowers. Of course, we've talked so much about Edgar Martinez becoming the pitching coach. I think Mike Blowers, his insight is amazing. You know, one of my favorite parts of what I get to do is, you know, when I'm at a Mariners game working, I'm there hours ahead of time with everyone else, and we're all in the booth, you know, working away, preparing, getting our audio together and getting our notes together, all that stuff. And it's so much fun being in the booth with a guy like Mike Blowers, who played so long in Major League Baseball, and other guys that come in the booth, and Dave Valley and Dave Henderson and on and on and on, Dan Wilson and everybody else that has played the game, that has been around the game, that's watched the game. And just to hear the stories and the insights, it's just, for any fan of the game like I am, it's Candyland. It's so much fun to hear all the stories and just have baseball talk. And, you know, through the years, Mike Blowers has always told great stories about Edgar Martinez and how much he has meant to his career and his teammates. And he shares a couple of great stories about Edgar Martinez. The one at the end of the conversation with Aaron Goldsmith is really, really good. So that comes up in just a couple of minutes. Robinson Cano sits down with Shannon Dreher, and really good insight on what's going on right now with the Seattle Mariners. It's excellent. Really good stuff. So that comes up. A couple of draft pieces, one by me that will come up at the end, and one by Josh Kearns, who comes up once a week. His stuff is outstanding, and this week he takes a look at a couple of newly drafted players for the Seattle Mariners in the Seattle Mariners organization. And I kind of take a look at the same thing, the first handful. So a couple of draft items as well. And but first, let's start with what the Mariners will be looking at this weekend. So three games on the road against the Angels. I'm really interested in tonight. Taiwan Walker will take the mound. You know, he has been outstanding. Mariners taking on the Angels. Matt Shoemaker is going to go for the Angels. And for Shoemaker, he has not been able to follow up last season with the same sort of consistency this season. He's really been up and down. And the numbers aren't always pretty when you break it down. His ERA by month in April, a rocky start, 6.00 ERA in four starts. In May, a 4.54 in six starts. And so far in June, in three starts, a 5.63 ERA so far. Opponents betting 275 against him this month. So it's been tough. I mean, overall, 4-5 with a 5.20 ERA. Of course, he was outstanding last year and really saved the Angels' season when you look at what happened to the Angels last year. But he's not been able to recap that magic so far this year. Part of the reason is righties have really tuned him up, batting 270 against him, 7 home runs, 15 RBIs, but lefties hitting for pop as well, 8 homers and 10 RBIs. And just consider last season at a 3.04 ERA in 20 starts, 124 strikeouts and 136 innings, but his walk rate is higher. I mean, everything, as you can imagine, everything down the line is higher. So that's the matchup as the Mariners will try and take game one back in the division. So this is big as they try and get things cranked up. So Walker against Shoemaker in game one of the series. Game two, kind of an odd start time, 4:15 p.m. on Saturday. Garrett Richards is going to go for the Angels. 7-5 with a 3.66 ERA so far this season. He's looking to recapture his same magic from last year, although he's been really good his last three starts. The start before against New York, he didn't make it out of the first inning, gave up 6 earned runs. But since then, at Tampa, 7 innings, 2 earned runs. Arizona, 7 innings, didn't give up a run. And last time at Oakland, 6 innings and 3 earned runs. So his strikeout numbers are not high. He has fanned 19 so far in the month of June in 26 innings. He's also walked 11 in 26 innings. So he's been a little bit up and down as well, but he's still Garrett Richards. So the Mariners will have their hands full on Saturday. Jay Happ will pitch for the M's. And the third game of the series on Sunday, a 12:35 first pitch on Sunday. The King, Felix Hernandez, takes the ball against the Angels. Hector Santiago, 4-4 with a 2.68 ERA. He's been pretty solid this season for the Angels. So that gets you ready. Three-game set against the Angels in the division, a team they're chasing, a big series this weekend for the Mariners. We'll be watching closely, and we'll talk about it coming up on Monday after the weekend is finished. Now, what about the state of the Mariners? Let's turn things over to Shannon Dreher with Robinson Cano.
You know, we've seen some ups and downs with this team, and it was interesting. Early today, Lloyd McClendon said something I think probably you guys all kind of see. You know you've got a lot of good players on this team. You know you've got a lot of good numbers, but right now it's kind of let's go guys time. That's kind of what he called it. How do you look at that?
Well, I mean, I look at it the same way. I mean, we got a great team. I mean, we can compete with anyone. And I would say for us, it's, we haven't been the team that we're supposed to, you know, get going on a winning streak, like, you know, keep the same momentum for 10, 15 games. We haven't been there yet, but I still believe in this team. I still believe in what we got. And, you know, we're still out of game on the season. And, you know, we're 9 games behind. But, I mean, you don't want to look at a nice game. You just got to go out there and play game by game.
You always know the number. It can be the first day of the season. It can be the 112th game of the season. You always have an eye on it.
Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. I love baseball. And you know what? This is what I know how to do. So, for me, you know, I like to keep tracking, and especially our team. Especially when you play for a team, you want to know what's going on in the team, what's happening. You know, sometimes maybe they ask you a question, what we need, or there's a meeting that you can say something. So I always keep tracking.
It's always great to see. It's funny, every time I talk to you, you know right where it is. What don't we see? What are the conversations that are going on with the guys behind the scenes right now?
Well, I mean, I think for us, it's been the same thing. We just got to be consistent. We haven't been consistent. We made a scoring position. If you don't do the little thing, that you don't want to win games. So when you do the little things, it's hard to see a team that every time winning with a big hit or long balls. I mean, it's hard sometimes. So we just got to stay positive. We just got to keep grinding and play game by game. I'm thinking about ahead, how many games we're behind or how many games we need to win to get close. We just got to, especially, we just got to be the team in our division.
How do you get into the mindset to think, do the little things?
Well, I mean, you know what? First thing is, we all need to know as a player what kind of player we are. You know, we can just go out there and just swing all the time. We just got to, you know, the situation, the game is always a situation going to detail what you want to do, what you can do in that situation. And but I think we're not that far away from there.
You've been playing for a long time. Do you sometimes get out of that?
Well, honestly, no. I mean, I always keep my mind in the game, even if you see me talking, laughing in the dugout. But I know what kind of player I am, and I know what I can do and what the situations are. Because, I mean, when you love this game, you're always gonna be on top of the game.
Can I ask you this? I mean, you are probably one of the happiest, most optimistic guys on this team. But is there ever a time where you look around and you just kind of get mad? Like, why does this happen, or why do we do this? Are there moments of that?
Well, I mean, I've been in this kind of, you know, in teams that we lose a lot of games. Last thing you can do is your confidence. And, you know, you look around, I mean, not wide or why we don't win a lot of games, but you're always looking what's wrong. I mean, we're going to go, everything goes through that during the season. I think we haven't been that team that we're supposed to be or the team that we are. I mean, we haven't get that offense, defense, and pitching together. But like I say, I know we're not far from that.
I think one of the biggest things I see that you guys have got going for you is, you know, I saw it in spring training, I saw it the first week, I see it last week, I see it even last night. You guys believe in each other.
Yeah, that's what you do. I mean, we're a family. Last thing you want is start talking behind our guys. This guy talk about this guy behind his back, or this guy say this. But that's when the thing start falling apart. So you got to believe in what you got. It's like you got to trust everyone. I mean, we're all here for a reason.
That home run last night, that must have felt good for you.
Well, I mean, it feels good, but I mean, when you're losing a game, you're not really enjoying what you're doing. It don't really make sense because, you know, for me, it's more go out there, have a team and win games.
Right.
Even with a sack fly, I don't have to be a homer, a single, or a nice play. I mean, I've been feeling good the whole season. It's not that I've been feeling lost or anything like that, but yesterday was a great swing, and then that's me. That was my swing, and, you know, hopefully continue to keep that momentum.
It's great to see what we saw last night. And thank you for a little bit of insight to what's
anytime,
going on.
Anytime. Thank you.
Thank you, Robinson.
And now Edgar Martinez, just a handful of days into his job as the hitting coach. I think really good insight here on Edgar Martinez in that role and what he can bring to that role. Here's Aaron Goldsmith and Mike Blowers.
Mike, this is in some special times in Mariners land. As we found out yesterday, Edgar Martinez, the Mariners' new hitting coach. I know we talked about this a little bit on the telecast last night. And there was something just really special about the root cameras continuing to pull up the shot of Edgar leaning over the railing in the dugout. There was just something really almost magical about seeing Edgar Martinez in a Mariners uniform again, wasn't there?
I think that there has to be any time that Gar is here at the ballpark, and especially to see him in uniform down in the dugout. I looked down there a number of times, and to watch him having conversations with some of the players brought back a lot of memories for me. You know, Edgar was a pretty good hitting coach when he was a player.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, so I think that it's going to be a positive.
So that kind of springboards us into a grander conversation as to just the value of a hitting coach, what a hitting coach can do for you. And I know Edgar, when he was talking to the media yesterday, when he was kind of formally introduced, said that what he looks for in a hitting coach is somebody who is positive. He said, I know what I'm doing wrong. I need somebody who can help me fix it and can really get in my head in a good way. And he mentioned Lee Elia as the guy that he thought was the best that he had ever interacted with.
Yeah, and Lee, I spent almost 5 years with Lee, and I think the same thing. You can get into the mechanics of a swing, making changes, and those things are very important. And for a hitting coach to have the ability, I think, to look at tape of you and be able to pick up the smallest of changes, and that being the reason why you're struggling. And that takes a trained eye, and Lee was pretty good at that. But more than anything, when he was always positive. Things are going to turn around today. This is the reason why. Give you a good game plan, you go out and play. And I think that's really important over the course of the summer.
One of the things that is going to be an interesting transition for Edgar is now he's back in an everyday role with the Mariners is how video has become such a big part of this game. And Rick told us that he was down in the Mariners clubhouse at about 9 o'clock this morning, and there was Edgar in the Mariners film room, which looks like a very small Best Buy store.
Right.
and he was there poring over the video. How do you see video and how it's impacted the game from the days that you and Edgar were playing to today?
Well, first of all, I would say that the first time that I heard about video and guys watching that stuff was Tony Gwynn.
Okay.
Now, Edgar and Tony Gwynn had a lot of conversations because we shared the same spring training complex. And Edgar, all of a sudden, he had a device with him to where we're on the planes, he was watching stuff. Whether it was going to be the opposing pitchers or it was his swing or whatever. And I think that the advancements now are just, it's awesome. I would have loved it as a player because you get immediate feedback now, and you can get it on all kinds of angles, and the amount of information that you get, all pluses. And that stuff that Edgar will, he will be all over that stuff. He loves that stuff. You know, everybody talks about, again, mechanics. But Edgar is somebody that he likes the numbers, he likes the video, and he understands all that stuff, and he knows that it's important. But I think when he speaks to you, Aaron, as a player, he will leave that stuff aside, but it will give him information that is going to be really valuable. And I think that he's somebody, I'm not surprised he was here first thing this morning. That's the way he was as a player, and I think as a coach he will do the same.
When you're talking about using film as a hitter, what's kind of the balance, do you think, of watching film of yourself, your own mechanics, your own swing, and then watching film of the opposing pitcher, the starter you're going to face that day?
I think for me, I always liked watching the opposing pitcher more than I liked watching my own swing. If I had issues, I would certainly go and look at it, but for the most part, I felt like the information I could gather from watching video of a pitcher, sometimes you can pick up him tipping pitches. Sometimes you can pick up patterns. One of the things Edgar has talked about, too, and I learned this from him when I was a player, is sometimes the catcher will give things away.
Really?
Yeah. They fall into patterns, too. And Edgar used to tell me, you get in a three-game series, your first at-bat will tell you exactly what their scouting report is on you, and you should make adjustments accordingly. And that is gold. And I think those are the kind of things that he will talk to the guys about and get them thinking about and having conversations throughout the game with them. I hope they take advantage of him being here. They're going to have to go to him sometimes too. And he will have answers for you, and they will be helpful. And I think he'll keep it simple so that you're not burdened with a bunch of information and a bunch of thoughts. Edgar, one of the things that he always talked about is preparation. I put my time in early. I get it out of the way so that by the time 7:05 comes around, I'm concentrating on one thing, and that's picking up the baseball and sticking to my plan. I'm not worried about where my hands are or where my stance is at or how close to the plate I am. None of that stuff. It's so hard, and I think that he'll make it that simple for him.
One of the things that Edgar talked about the other day was, as a hitter when he was playing, his routine.
Yeah.
And you bring up his preparation, his routine every day, and how important that was over his 18-year career to establish. And it seems like that's something that he kind of wants, especially to the younger players, to help impart and find the proper routine. But it seems like that is something that is kind of ground zero, the foundation for any hitter.
It really is, Aaron. And I think that, you know, it's one of those deals with Gar. I think he's, especially the young players, he's going to demand that of them. He's not there to waste his time. And I think he's going to make sure that they're putting in the work.
And to find something consistent. Is that the name of the game?
To find something consistent that works for them.
Mm-hmm.
What Gar used to do may not work for me. And I think, and I've said this many times about Edgar, one of the things, and this is the difficult thing about being a hitting coach, especially when you've been a really good hitter for a long time yourself, is being able to take a step back and realize that when Edgar is watching Mike Blowers hit, Mike Blowers is not Edgar Martinez. And some of the things that Edgar can do, I certainly could not. But what he could do is Edgar could talk to me about my swing and the things that I'm doing and make it work the best for me. And I think that's a real strength of his.
You know, just thinking about Edgar, and we're talking about the film, and we saw Chris Carter strike out four times last night, and I was wondering how many times Edgar had ever struck out three times in a game.
Yeah.
18-year career. He struck out three times in a game, 25 times. I mean, it's incredible. He only had one season of over 100 strikeouts.
I'll tell you a quick story, Aaron, about him as a hitter. I'm watching him, and I watch him strike out looking one time. And I immediately look at the big board, and it is a fastball, 89 miles an hour, right down the middle. And he didn't even flinch. And I wondered if maybe he didn't see it, because Edgar always had to do eye exercises.
Mm.
And so when he came back to the bench, I asked him, I said, "Guard, you just didn't pick it up, or what happened right there?" And he looked at me and he goes, "No, he made a mistake. He was supposed to throw me a curveball right there." And I said, what? And he said, he goes, the patterns he's in and the way that they've been pitching me, I was expecting him to throw the breaking ball, and I was sitting on the breaking ball.
That's incredible. So he knew the pitcher better than the pitcher knew himself.
Well, it's not just that, but what it points to is he had a plan, uh-huh. and he stuck to it. And it's like he used to tell me all the time, you're not always going to be right. But if you continue to make a plan, more times than not, you will be. And so that when you get that one pitch to hit, you won't miss it. You'll be on it. And that stuck with me the rest of my career.
That's incredible. That's a great story.
Yeah, he's something.
And Josh Kearns is back. Great stuff as always, this time on the Mariners Draft.
Nice to meet you, Dad.
It's been a busy couple of months for 18-year-old Nick Neidert. There was the high school prom, graduation, and then getting drafted by the Mariners with their first pick.
It was nerve-wracking, especially with Ken Griffey Jr. announcing my name. That was quite a feeling right there.
You going to Arizona?
It was also the culmination of a dream for the Atlanta area teen, who got his first taste of the bigs this week when he visited Safeco Field with his family, met the players and coaches, and watched his hero Felix Hernandez take the hill in an epic matchup with the Giants.
What do you guys think?
It's exciting.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
I'm
awesome.
Excited for
his mom, Joyce, admits she was never fully convinced he'd get here.
Did you always know that your kid was going to be a pro baseball player?
Absolutely not. I always told him, I said, pick another dream. I said, it's a perfect dream and all that kind of stuff, but what else do you want to do when you grow up? Just to be on the safe side and everything. And no, it was a shocker.
That seems to be a common theme with the folks. Hal Moore says even though in recent years the family hoped his son Andrew would go pro as he starred as a pitcher at Oregon State.
Before that, it was just fun watching him play and excelling every year. But big leaguer, wow, that would be a long, long
road.
But even though the parents might have had their doubts, all three of the M's top picks agree they knew they'd be pro ball players from a young age, including former University of Washington outfielder Braden Bishop.
You know, when I was nine, my dad had got me a little weight room set, and I had printed out 2015 MLB draft and then posted it above all of it. So when I was working out, I could see it as a nine-year-old.
Yeah, even when times got tough and I was smaller than everyone, I just kept telling myself that if you work hard, that you're going to be a pro one day, and here I am.
So where does all that drive come from? Andrew's dad says it's all from within and from a very young age.
There was times where we would come home and first thing you'd want to do is, let's go play catch in the cul-de-sac. We'd be playing catch for an hour after practice until dad wore out, and it was time for him to hit. Then he would hit by himself, so...
Still, Nick's mom admits it wasn't until maybe the last year or so that she actually believed it could actually happen.
I was didn't realize it until we saw the scouts, and I asked my husband, I was like, who are they seeing? He said, do you not realize it's for your son? And I'm like, nuh-uh. So, yeah.
Still, everyone realizes it's a long road ahead to actually make it to the majors. Only about 1 in 6 players drafted do. Nick is beginning his journey to the bigs in rookie ball down in Arizona, while Braden and Andrew kick off their pro careers with the Everett Aqua Sox.
You know, everyone here is going to be talented, but it's just from the neck up that really separates you. So at Oregon State, that's something that we do a really good job of, really honing on is the mental side of the game. So, that's something I've been working on for years, and obviously there's still a whole lot more room for improvement.
For Nick, there's an additional challenge, getting over his fear of flying. After all, the Mariners travel more than any other team.
Yeah, I'm kind of getting used to it flying everywhere, but obviously when I'm in the bigs, flying won't be an issue for me.
Not if, just a matter of when, huh?
Yes, sir.
They may be short on experience, but there's one thing the M's top draft picks aren't lacking: confidence.
I think my speed and defense and the tenacity to which I play the game, I think, will take me a long way because it's taken me this far.
And all three hope it isn't long before it takes them all the way back to Safeco Field.
It's an incredible feeling to be here, and so I'm just excited to get going. It's as good as it could possibly be.
For the Mariners Sunday Magazine, I'm Josh Kearns.
And for a little more draft coverage, here's me on the Mariners Draft. Today we look at the 2015 Major League Baseball Draft. Some of the most important days on the calendar for every Major League Baseball club. And just a handful of days ago, the Mariners wrapped up their 2015 draft. The M's without a first-round pick this year, thanks to the signing of Nelson Cruz.
Swing and a fly ball deep into right center field. Dyer on the run, going back, and this one is gone. Goodbye, baseball. It may have gone into the Rays' fish tank. Holy smoke, Nelson Cruz.
So the Mariners hopped into the draft in this second round, picking 60th overall and a pretty good place to start. Announcing the pick, probably the best draft pick in the history of Major League Baseball.
Here comes the 3-0 pitch to Junior. He swings and a high fly ball belted Green to the track, the wall, number 56, fly, fly away.
The Seattle Mariners select Nick Niederd, right-handed pitcher from Petrie Ridge High School, Suwanee, Georgia.
It's a surreal feeling because I've been dreaming about this since I was a little kid, and just to see it playing out and I'm actually living out that dream, it's incredible.
And here's what Mariners scouting director Tom McNamara had to say about the Mariners' first pick.
He was the guy we wanted. It was a long wait, and we were very happy that he fell to 60. We've been watching him for the last 2 to 3 years. He's about 6'1", 170. We see him as a projectable, loose, athletic kid, very confident. His fastball range is 93 to 97.
And yes, the royal exploits of the King, they reach all the way to Georgia.
It is incredible. One of the first questions I asked, I was like, so that's where the King stands out there, right? So that was pretty cool just to throw off the same mound he does.
Swing and a miss, strike three, and it's over. Felix Hernandez shuts out the Tampa Bay Rays.
And then the draft took on a Northwest flavor for the Mariners.
72nd selection, the Seattle Mariners select Andrew Moore, right-handed pitcher from Oregon State University, Corvallis, Oregon.
The ace of the Oregon State staff, Andrew Moore. He was outstanding this year once again in his junior season. 7-2 with a 1.91 ERA, 111 strikeouts in 122 and a third innings pitched. He's been all-conference, all-American, freshman of the year, freshman all-American. He has done it all in an Oregon State uniform.
What I saw was another guy that could really command his fastball. He was 92 to 94 for 8 innings. And I think the thing about him that really impressed all of us is his body language and his fastball command.
And a man who knows him well, who's had to face him many, many times. Here's a scouting report from Lindsey Meggs, head coach of the University of Washington.
Andrew's a great competitor. He was a guy that literally you knew when he went out there, if you didn't get him early, you were going to have very little chance of being successful, because once he settled in and was able to throw those secondary pitches for strikes along with that 92-mile-an-hour fastball, which he could throw, you know, create that tilt and throw straight down into the bottom of the strike zone. I mean, you were just going to have a tough day. And the thing that I liked the most about him was you'd watch him throw, and the Seattle fans will love this, and you'd never know if he was up by 10 or down by 2, because that is one cool customer on the mound. He doesn't get rattled. He can succeed in virtually any role, and I think you guys have a great one there. You're going to be really pleased about him.
And speaking of the University of Washington,
Seattle selects Braden Bishop, a center fielder for the University of Washington.
Braden Bishop, center fielder for the University of Washington, known for his stellar defense.
You know, he's just electric from gap to gap, and the arm is a plus-plus arm, and he'll go over the fence and catch balls. He'll bring balls back into the ballpark, and really the way we looked at it is, you know, there aren't a lot of guys on your club that can change the course of a game defensively, but he can do that. He can impact the game. And not just impact it, but he can win a game for you on defense.
And no doubt, he can absolutely fly on the base paths.
Yeah, he's a guy that, at the pro level, he's going to get so many more opportunities to run. And, you know, that's part of his game that's still evolving. And, you know, I think he can be a 30 to 40 stolen base type guy in the big leagues when he gets to that point in his career.
And his new teammate, Andrew Moore, very pleased he doesn't have to face Bishop anymore.
He's tough. He has a good approach at the plate. You know, he battles. I think last year he had like a 15-pitch at-bat to start the game in Corvallis and ended up walking. So he's just someone that, you know, he plays the game right. Like I said, he has a great approach, and if you make a mistake, he'll make you pay for it.
And now Moore and Bishop are teammates with the Everett Aqua Sox. And how quickly things move. Game one already in the books. Aqua Sox winning last night 6-1 over the Eugene Emeralds. Brayden Bishop in his professional debut, 1-for-2 with 2 runs scored playing center field. So the 2015 draft is in the books and the journey has already begun.